you searching for happiness, this the way to go. You say you want peace, this the way to go. If you trying to see Jesus, this the way to go. We all wanna live, this the way to go. 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 This the way to go.
You are now listening to The Way to Go Youth Podcast with Pastor Jerome Baker. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in Carrollton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. Now, let's receive Pastor Baker with today's message. You are listening to The Way to Go.
The name bearer of our verse this morning is Job. Job is an important man in Scripture that young men and young women need to be familiar with. Job would be considered a patriot or a patriarch, someone that we should look to learn from. Who are we going to be dealing with on this morning? Job. Now, when you consider Job chapter 1 and verse number 1, the Bible gives three descriptive characteristics of Job. And we need to not only understand what they mean, but we also need to apply those characteristics to our own life. First of all, in Job 1 and 1, it says that Job was a blameless man. Job was a what? A blameless man. Someone who is blameless, they're able to determine right from wrong. And once they discern right from wrong, they do the right thing. I'm blameless because I know the difference between what's right and what's wrong, and I do accordingly. When a person is blameless, young people, it says that that person is mature because they know the right thing to do. They know how they should think. They know how they should talk. They know how they should act, and they strive to do was right by God. And when we do so, then we're keeping ourselves blameless. What type of man was Job? He was a blameless man. But it's not enough for Job just to be blameless. We need to be blameless. You have to be to the point to where you know what's right and what's wrong and do accordingly. You should never live your life based upon the approval of your peers. You do what's right, even if they don't want to do what's right. Notice what the Bible says. Follow me to Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28. And notice, if you will, verse number 18. Proverbs 28:18. Whoever walks blameless will be saved. So if I walk as a blameless person, I'm going to be saved. I'm going to be divinely protected. I don't have to worry about certain things because I'm striving to do the right thing. And even when I do get to going through tough times, because I'm striving to do what's right, God is going to make sure that I'm divinely protected. And we see that, young people, in the life of Job. Tragic things happened to him, but because he was doing what was right by God, the Lord divinely protected him. Those who walk blamelessly or live blamelessly will be saved. You'll be delivered. Woo, you'll be prospered and protected. I thought y'all would be excited about that because I know we got some folk in here that's striving to live blamelessly. You don't, again, allow your choices to be based upon what your peers do. You have to remember, I'm striving to do the right thing. And if I do that, God gonna bless me. I used to tell young people and specifically my own sons when they were children, I said, look, just do right by God and he gonna bless you. Look at somebody say, do right by God and he'll bless you. And we see that here in Proverbs 28 and 18. When you hang out with your friends, strive to do the right thing so you can be saved or divinely protected. Secondly, Job, according to Job 1 and 1, was not only blameless, but Job was upright. Job was a what type of man? He was upright. He was blameless and upright. To be upright means that he was a just man. He was a righteous man. Breaking it down, he was someone who lived by faith. He was a faith walker. He believed in trusting God. He believed in hearing the word and putting it into action. Whether that be the written word or whether that be the revealed word. He was a just man. And he lived by faith. And likewise, we need to be upright. Look at somebody and say, we got to be upright. Yeah. Why do we need to live by faith? Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. And I don't know how you feel about it. I want to please God. I may be young, but I really want God to be delighted with my lifestyle. I really want God's face to smile upon me. I really want to feel his presence when I go in and when I come out. Why? The best place and the safest place to be is in the will of God. And so we need to learn from Job. Be upright. Notice, if you will, Psalm 84. And look at one benefit of being upright. Psalm 84, and notice the latter part of verse number 18. Psalm 84 and the latter part of verse 11. 84 and 11. It says, no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. If you and I live by faith or just be upright as young men and young women of God, no good thing will he withhold from us. See, you may be in some lack right now, but keep living by faith. God is going to make sure that you have what's good. And how many know that having your needs met is a good thing? How many know that having peace is a good thing? Not being stressed out is a good thing. Having money to be able to be a blessing and enjoy life is a good thing. I don't have to steal. I don't have to rob. I don't have to do nothing crooked. I don't have to scam. All I need to do is just be like Job, be upright. And the Bible says no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Man, that ought to get somebody to shout hallelujah. No good thing. No good thing. All I need to do is just live by faith. Come to God's house, hear faith, and put it into action. Because faith comes by, help me, hearing, and hearing the what? Word of God. See, when you're upright, young folk, you learn that you are dependent on God. You learn you can't do without his word. You understand what Jesus said? Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from God's mouth. Lord, I'm dependent on you. I need you. I got to stay connected to you. I can't let anything separate me from the love of God. I'm going to be in church because I need your word. I'm going to hear the word and put it into action. I need you. Young folk, God don't necessarily need us. We need him. Listen, John said that he is, or God is, the true vine. We are the branches. Without him, we are nothing. Look at somebody and say, without the Lord, you are nothing. I am nothing. We are nothing without the Lord. I'm dependent on him. Are you dependent on Jesus? I got to have him. I may lose my phone, but I'm still going to be hooked up to Jesus. I may lose some friends, but I'm still going to stay connected to Jesus. You may not like me, and that's okay, but I'm going to stay hooked up to Jesus. I'm upright. I got to have him. I got to have that word. What are young folk in here that got to have the word? I got to have the word. May not have the latest clothes, may not have the latest shoes, may not have all that I want, but one thing I know I got in my heart is I got the word. And where the word is, there's life. Jesus said it like this, young folk, that if his word abides in you, that you can ask whatever it is that you desire, and guess what? He'll do it. So what type man was he? Job. First of all, he was a blameless man. Secondly, he was a upright man. And then finally, in Job 1:1, it says plainly that Job feared God and shunned evil. Boy, y'all ought to know Job real well. First of all, he was a what type man? A blameless man. Secondly, he was a upright man. And finally, he feared God and shunned evil. What did he do? Help me. Y'all ain't saying it over here. This the hot side. He and to fear God, first of all, meant he was a worshiper. He was a worshiper, a true worshiper. And the Bible says, young people, that God is looking for true worshipers that's going to worship him in spirit and in truth. When a person is a true worshiper, they're totally devoted to God. And God wants that from young men and young women. Teenagers, 20s, early 30s, all the way up to over your 40s. God still wants true worshipers. When you look in the book of Daniel, you see examples of true worshipers. These young men, Daniel and his companions, who we call the Hebrew boys, they were totally devoted to God. They were thinking God, talking God, and acting according to his word. And that's what God wants from us. He don't want us to be religious, young folk, to where we're only devoted to him when we come to church. No, he wants you devoted to him when you're at school. When nobody else around you is devoted to God, he wants you to be a light on a hill. He wants our total devotion. He wants us to love him, the Bible says, with all of our mind, all of our heart, all of our strength. He wants our all. He don't want you to give more to a football, a basketball game than you do to him. No, he wants your all. He don't want you to give your all to that special person that you're attracted to. No, he wants your all. He wants your all. He wants you to seek approval from him more so than approval from man. He wants our all. He wants our all. Oh, look at somebody and help Pastor Teach say, he wants our all. Some of y'all didn't even participate. Say, he wants our all. Yeah. Even when it comes down to how you carry yourself, it should be obvious you're a true worshiper. Even when it comes to how you talk, people should be able to recognize you're a true worshiper. When Jesus was about to be crucified and taken into the hands of men, young folk, they were looking at his disciples, and one woman questioned Peter, "Are you one of his?" And Peter began to deny the Lord. He said, "No, I don't even know him." But she said, "You even talk like him." See, he wasn't totally sold out, but he had some residue that he had been around the Lord. And see, young folk, when you have been brought up in the way of God, it should be obvious in how we think, how we talk, and how we act. Don't do like some young folk and switch up when you leave church. No, be a true worshiper in the church and outside the church. Does that mean we're going to be flawless? Does that mean we're going to be perfect? No. Look at David, a man after God's own heart. He made mistakes time and time again, some knowingly and some unknowingly. But as a true worshiper, he quickly repented and got that thing right. We should follow the same example. But listen, young people, he not only worshiped or feared God, he shunned evil. Say that new vocabulary word. Say he shunned evil. He avoided wrongdoing. He avoided sin. No, he stayed away from it. He strived to keep himself pure, as Paul told Timothy. And that's what you have to do. When you out in the battlefield, young folk, you have to strive to avoid wrongdoing. You have to strive to avoid sin, even though you may be attracted to it. Even though you may like evil at times, sin at times, because sin is pleasurable. Am I right? Oh, can I talk to somebody? You got to avoid it. That means if folk that you hang around are participating in evil doings, you may have to cut them loose. Ain't no may have, you'll have to. Why? You're striving to shun evil. Got to stay away from y'all. Y'all get into too much mess. And I can't hang around, because when I hang around y'all, I get into some mess. How many know what I'm talking about? I got to avoid evil. Avoid evil music. I got to avoid evil situations, bad situations. I got to avoid it. Ain't the devil. I got to do it. I got to avoid it. I don't need to yield to temptation. And sometimes it can come from folk that you know, close with, or related to. And even if it's somebody you close to, related to, or what have you, it don't matter. It don't matter. You have to be peculiar, young people. Boy, this ain't popular teaching, but is it right? Old folk would call this holiness. Yeah, you gotta avoid evil. Stay away from it. Don't download the evil app. Oh no, don't download it. Matter of fact, just go ahead and erase that evil app. Because you know it's just messy. Woo, God talking to somebody, because I got a house full of quiet folk. I said, I got a house full of quiet folk. And I've been there. But part of maturing in God, young folk, is to stay away from evil. Why? Let's go to Proverbs. Proverbs 11. Y'all still with me? All right. Ain't getting too much. Amen. Preach, pastor, teach it. It's a good word. Y'all ain't giving me nothing. It's all right. Proverbs 11:19. Let me show you why we need to fear God and shun evil. Proverbs 11:19. As righteousness, help me read it, MSW, leads to what? Life. Y'all ain't read it like y'all excited. Let's try again. As righteousness leads to life, so he who pursues evil pursues it to his own death. So if I don't avoid it, that means I'm pursuing it. But understand something. If you or I participate in evil, it's leading to our own death. Why, Pastor? Because the wages of sin or evil is death. It's ruin. It'll take you straight to hell. And so we don't need to play around. Oh, God, look at somebody and help Pastor say, don't play around with evil. Leave it alone. Avoid it. And that's what Job did. He shunned evil. If your sister want to participate or pursue evil, you love your sister, but you don't go along with her. I can't go along with you. I love you. You my blood. We got the same mama, but I can't go along. I can't go along with you. You the point guard of the team, but I can't go along with you if you're pursuing after evil. And sometimes, young folk, you got to check yourself. When your own flesh want to do it, nah, we ain't going to do that. Am I talking right? Am I Bible? So what did we learn about Job? He was a blameless man. He was a upright man. And he was a man that what? Feared God. And but it don't just need to be Job. It needs to be us. Because his life was written for our learning. Now, when we get to our main text, y'all go back to Job. We get to our main text in Job 14 and verse number 5. Man, Job revealed some wisdom about the sovereignty of God. Sovereignty, young people, has to do with God being in control of everything. Like the praise team was singing this morning, how God reigns. That has to do with God's sovereignty. He's in control of everything. And when we read Job 14 and 5, what he reveals is something that happens every day that we need to be mindful of. Because it's obvious when you look at young people today, and I'm talking about young people in general, universal, many young people do not adhere to what Job has said here in Job 14 and 5. Notice again, Job 14 and 5. Since his days are determined, the number of his months is with you. You have appointed his limits so that he cannot pass. God has a divine schedule for your life. Every day that God allows us to see alive is a good day. It's a blessing to be, as the old folks say, amongst the living. God, young people, has purpose for our lives. And we have to realize that every single day is an opportunity for us to fulfill purpose. God, again, has a divine schedule. And I want you to notice my notes. He has scheduled things to happen in your life that nobody can stop. There are certain good things that God has designed to happen in your life nobody can stop. And there is adverse things that's going to happen in your life that nobody can stop. God allows things to happen in our life. Do y'all see it in the text? Over in the book of Habakkuk, I'm not going to go there, but look at my notes in Habakkuk 2 and 3. The writer talks about how God has an appointed time for things to happen. God gives you a dream, a vision, or shows you purpose for your life. You got to understand it's not going to happen overnight. There is an appointed time. God show you being a business owner while you're young. It ain't going to happen by next week. You're going to have to go through some steps. Because the steps of a good man or a righteous or upright person, they're ordered by the Lord. Understand, if he showed it to you, it's an appointed time for it to happen. You can't get anxious. You can't be worried. Or when you see the success of other people, feel like you're losing in life. You got to remember, look, what God has for me is going to happen at the appointed time. Not my time, but God's appointed time. Especially when you walk by faith. And again, you'll find that in Habakkuk 2 around the third verse. Those that walk by faith, they have vision of purpose. And what he shows you, it's going to happen at the appointed time. But then you look at verses like Ecclesiastes 3:1. Y'all still with me? The writer says this, young people. He says, for every purpose under heaven, there's a time. There's a season. There's a time for certain things to happen in your life. And what I used to mess up when I was young, things that I later learned God wanted to happen later on in my life, I would try to do at the wrong time. God said, look, Baker, look, it's okay for you to do this with your body, but it's just not the time. When you get married, you can do that. It's just not the purpose or the time. Why does all the music and the entertainment urging our young people just to be so sexually active right now? Trying to get you to act out of season or out of God's timing. For every season under heaven, there's a time, there's a purpose. And you'll find that in Ecclesiastes 3:1. But contextually, young folk, the one thing that Job is hinting at that's going to happen in all of our lives is death. Contextually, Job is saying, look, basically, we are all one day going to die. But I don't like talking about death, Pastor. Well, get over it. Because death is a part of life. Tell that to somebody, young folks. Say, death is a part of life. Some of y'all won't even go there. Say, death is a part of life. Yeah, it's a part of it. Now, when you save, death is a blessing. When you in God, it's blessed to die in the Lord. Because to live is Christ and to die is gain. But I gotta teach it in such a way, because you have some young people, they act as if they're not gonna die one day. And have to give account for their life. And see, that speaks to young people that may be here or listening that's not born again. You're not too young to die. Well, I'm just starting out. I'm in my 20s. So the Bible teaches that tomorrow may not happen. You check out James 4. He talks about, look, no man may see tomorrow. It's not promised. You and I, we can die. God is the only one. He can't die. He was, is, and is to come. Everybody's going to die. Even you with your cute self. One day. The text says it. Your days are already determined. Your months are with him. Who said you're going to see 30? Who said that? Who said you're going to see 65? Who said that? So we have to remember, Lord, my life is in your hand. I need to make sure I'm living in such a way that's pleasing you. And even when you consider life, young people, before we experience death, we're all going to experience adversity. Yeah. We're all going to go through things. Even in your young age, you're going to go through adverse days. You're going to have some challenging days. There's some days you're going to have to fight to stay saved. There's some days that you're going to have to fight to keep your mind at peace. You're going to have to persevere just like Job did in life. Amen. See, that's what Job's name means, persevere. Job had adversity, but guess what? He endured it all. And sometimes, young folk, life will throw you some things to where you feel like throwing in the towel. But look at somebody and say, don't you throw in that towel. Yeah, sometimes you go through things in your family and you just get tired of them and you just, no, just hang in there. That's just a part of life. Sometimes you experience stress, disappointment. You experience a number of things in this life. But we have a God that we can cast all of our cares on because he cares for us. Are y'all still with me, young people? Are y'all with me? So let's look at the truths that we see in this verse of Job 14 and 5. I want to talk about how he said our days basically are appointed. I want to talk about some things and pull out some truths that are found in this text. The first one is what I've been alluding to the last few minutes, is that we need to be prepared for our day of appointment. As a young person, y'all have such an advantage. I say that often. To be taught the word the way you're being taught, it should help you say, you know what? I'm being taught right. I need to make sure I get right. Amen. Don't neglect such a great salvation, the Bible says. Don't come to church knowing you're not saved or you done backslid. You ain't prepared for death. You got to be prepared for that day. Because that's one day that your parents cannot help you out of. That's one day that your preacher can't help you out of. You have to be prepared yourself for your day of appointment. Hebrews 9:27. It's appointed for man to die once, and after this, the judgment. You got to know that you saved. You can't be talking about some, I think I am. I'm not sure. Well, maybe I am. No, you ain't prepared. Because if you die like that, that sounds like uncertainty. You got to know. Why come to church and act like Christian if you know you're not living as a Christian? Don't play. Just be real. Be ready for your appointment. Be ready for your appointment. Who knows what could happen on tomorrow? Who knows what can happen later this evening? Who knows? But I do know, as far as me, that if something happened to me, I know I'm going to heaven. I know I ain't going to hell. I know Jesus is Lord and Savior of my life. But do you know that about yourself? You got to know that as a child, teenager, young adult, and even adult. Is your lifestyle becoming of a Christian? Is your lifestyle based upon the word that you're being taught? If not, repent. Repent, young folk, means to turn, to have a change of heart. Lord, I've been playing. If I die tonight, it's a wrap. Lord, I done been to your church and probably sat through 200 or more altar calls. Done talked to mama, grandmama, and I'm still. Well, do something about it. Repent. Repent. And ask Jesus to save you. Fill you with his Holy Spirit. So you can have some power. Now, those of us who sitting there saying, well, Pastor, I'm like you. I know I'm saved. Well, we got to hang in now. We got to make sure we endure until the end. We got to make it. How many know every day we got to make it? Every day we got to stay saved. We don't do like folks say, I'm losing my religion. No, we ain't losing nothing. We going to hang on to our confidence in God because we know it has great reward. And sometimes living this life for Christ, as I've been teaching and preaching all this month, it can be challenging to the flesh. But how many going to hang in there? How many have made up in your mind, I'm still going to deny myself? How many have made up the mind, I still mess up from time to time, but I'm righteous, I get right back up again? I want to encourage somebody, don't you give up on God. Don't you give up on yourself. You got to make it until the end.
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you, Lord.
Like Job, you and I, we have to endure hardships. We got to endure the pain. We got to endure sickness. We got to endure ridicule. We're just going to go through things in this life, but we got to make it till the end. I want to be prepared for my appointment. How many feel like I do by a show of hands? Yeah, I want to be prepared. I want to be prepared for my appointment, whenever that may be. Now, the prayer is, Lord, you promised me long life. That's the prayer. He promised me long life. I don't say things like life is short. That ain't what he promised me. He promised me long life. Am I right about it? But my days are already determined. My months are with him. Whatever he decides, I'm going to be ready. Look at somebody and say, I'm going to be ready. What about you? That's it. Be ready. The second thing I want us to understand, or truth we see in Job 14 and 5. Lord have mercy. You can die before your appointed time. Now, God can have an appointed time for us, young people, but we can die before our appointed time. The Lord desired us to live long, but he made us three more ages. We can do things to cut that short. Help me embed in somebody on your row. Say, don't die before your time. Y'all hurry up and go to Ecclesiastes 7. And let me show you how this can happen, because many young folk, they just don't, they don't have this understanding. Ecclesiastes 7, and notice verse number 17. Is it good?
Yes.
All right, thank you, First Lady. What about the rest of y'all? Is it good? All right. Ecclesiastes 7, 17. Do not be overly wicked, nor be foolish. Why should you die before your time? What causes young people to die before they're supposed to die? Wickedness and foolishness. Doing what we call dumb stuff. Doing that dumb stuff. Man, we going to the hookah lounge. We going to the hookah lounge and get our hookah on. the hookah lounge, and you're going to sit down in front of a big old bong and smoke weed in liquid form. They make restaurants now. They make restaurants and hookah lounges together. You can go and eat and then go right next door and get your smoke on. But did you know that hookah is worse than tobacco? It goes straight to the blood. It's more potent than smoking regular weed. I done the research. Look at somebody and say, hookah, that's that dumb stuff. Yeah. So you're going to do that and end up destroying your lungs. You going to go out here and have unprotected sex? It's bad enough that you're just having sex anyway. But you ain't strapped up. You running raw? What? Why die before your time? Why? That's a good question, ain't it? And you know, some folk be like, well, we all gotta die something. But why die before you supposed to? If God want me to live to 95, why do I want to do some stuff that's going to end it at 35? Why? And see, we don't need to get at ease, young people. You need to understand, and I need to understand, that whether you save or not save, the wages of sin is still, it's still there. Why die before your doing dumb stuff? And that's a foolish person according to the verse. Look at what Proverbs, y'all don't have to go there, but I got it here on the wall. Proverbs 10:23. Look at what the Bible says. To do evil is like sport to a what? A fool. So a fool will be doing dumb stuff and say they having fun. Man, we having fun, but doing dumb stuff. Man, we getting away with it. Now you got 30, 40 years in jail. Why? Dumb stuff. You rob, folk rob a store and get $11 and spend 30 years in prison. Just some dumb stuff. I read this article. This man shot somebody because his French fries were cold. Shot somebody because their French fries was cold at McDonald's. Got to go to jail for multiple years. Dumb stuff. Look at somebody and say, don't get caught up doing dumb stuff. Yeah. One great example, at least in my generation, comes from a man that y'all have heard about in your generation. How many heard of Tupac? Tupac Shakur. You know what he used to say in his late teen years and early 20s? He used to say in his songs and in interviews, and it's quoted and it's public, that he would die before his time. He would tell folks, I don't think I'm going to see 25 or 27. It was one of them. And he would constantly say that he was going to die before his time. And guess what happened? He died before his time. God has purpose, plan for your life, young people. But if we do dumb stuff, we can cut our life short. How many have that understanding based from the teaching thus far by a show of hands? God has purpose for your life, plan for your life. The Bible said he has plans of future, thoughts of good, hope, and so forth. But if we get on that dumb stuff, you can cut your life short. I was talking recently to an attorney, a lawyer, and he was telling me, he said, man, I'm I work with young people. He's a prosecutor in the juvenile system. Y'all still with me? And he was telling me, he said, man, we have a sex trafficking problem in West Georgia. I said, are you serious? He said, yes. He said, kids are ending up being taken and kidnapped. And next thing you know, they in other parts of the city and the country being taken advantage of sexually. I said, are you serious? He said, yeah. He said, you know how it starts, Pastor Baker? He said, it starts when these kids feel like they can just leave the home on their own. He said, they feel like they can just leave their home on their own. They be listening to the wrong folk. They leave the house and somebody see it and pick them up and they end up. He said, sometimes they be down on Fulton Industrial as prostitutes. One thing I try to teach over the years, young folk, is that you don't get too close to anybody to where you can't tell them or separate from them. You don't let folk just get in your ear, young folk, and turn you against somebody or people that love you. How you gonna let somebody you just met in school, at the mall, or on the internet turn you against your parents who have been training you and providing for you? That's foolish. That's dumb stuff. Listen, young ladies, if you meet somebody that's older than you and they telling you they into you and they in their 20s and you 16, 17, 18, you don't be flattered by that. That's that dumb stuff. Because he or she gonna get you and try to turn you out and you'll be messed up mentally, physically. Sexually, that's that dumb stuff. You know, he 27, he 28. Baby, you 15. Now, you may be built like you 22, but you 15. That's that dumb stuff. Look at somebody say, Pastor said, that's that dumb stuff. Matter of fact, that's that demonic stuff. That's just of the devil. You don't let somebody get in your mind like that. I met him online, and he said he 26. I told him I was 21, you know, because I got some big breasts, and I told him, he believed, baby, that's dumb, so you don't play like that.
That's right.
Oh, I'm too raw for y'all. No, that's too heavy for y'all. I don't want to die or see you die before your time. You don't get involved in scamming. Why mess up your credit before time? You don't get involved with this, that, and the third with your finances. No, no, no. You strive to keep good credit. You don't get into no get-rich-quick schemes. No, no. Why should you mess up your financial path before you even get out here in the real world? Woo! I know what I'm talking about. Yes, sir. I know exactly what I'm talking about. Y'all help me ask the question, say, why should we die before our time? No, I'm not going to die before my time. I'm going to die at my appointed time. When it's time for me to go, I'm gone. Last truth I want to pull out of this verse when it comes to appointments in our life. And again, contextually, Job is talking about our main appointment being death, right? How many remember in the message while I was telling you, look, God has purpose for our life. Every single day, we should be striving to be productive, right? Last thing I want to say about this verse as it pertains to divine appointments and things that should happen daily in our life. Each day, young folk, you watch your mouth. Every day that God has given you here on earth, we got to watch our mouth. Remember, my days are determined. My months are with him. Now, I can die or mess myself up. And one way we can do that on a daily basis, young folk, is with our mouth. With our mouth. Are y'all receiving? I can mess my life up, my days here on earth. I can mess them up if I don't talk right. Y'all got to see this. Y'all got to see this. This is my close. 1 Peter 3. Now, where are my young people, as you turn in a scroll in the 1 Peter chapter 3, where are my young men and young women and grown folk? They say, look, I want to enjoy life and have good life. The days that God has given me, I'm not trying to be stressed out. I'm not trying to be miserable. I want to be happy, productive, prosperous, and so forth. Let me see them hands. Let me see if I'm talking to anybody in the sanctuary. 1 Peter 3 and 10. Look what Peter said. Remember, this is my close. For he who would love life and see good days. Again, how many want to see good days? Let him or her refrain or keep his or her tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. One thing about Job and all that he went through in his life, the Bible says in Job 2 and 10 that he did not sin with his lips. God gave him life. He had adversity in his life. He had trials in his life. But one thing he didn't do with the days that God had blessed him with, the Bible says he did not sin with his lips. And so, young people, we have to learn that our mouth has creative power. God blesses us with the days here on earth, but we can make what God has ordained to be a good day. We can ruin that day with the words that we speak from our mouth. Gotta watch the words that we speak. Whatever God appoints to happen in your life, watch the words that you speak. Whether you are on a job that you don't like right now, watch the words you speak. You in a situation that's uncomfortable, just watch the words that you speak. Whatever you and I go through in life, how we talk is important. Because, listen, young folk, you can have some rough days, so to speak, or be fighting some things, but still have a good day. You can be in stressful situations, but still have a good day. You can deal with some crazy folk, but still have a good day. You can be dealing with haters, but still have a good day. May not have all the money that you want, but you can still have a good day. Tell somebody, say, no matter what, I can still have a good day. And we see that from Job. Job lost his children. His wife was tripping, lost all his money, lost some of his real estate, going through in his health. But Job still had good days. You know why? He didn't sin with his lips. Y'all getting this? Oh, let me close it out. We don't say stuff like, look, I'm just keeping it real right now. And you talking based upon what you see. Look at somebody say, don't keep it real. No, y'all didn't say, don't keep it real. Keep it Bible. That's right. Don't just keep it real. Keep it Bible. We should talk Bible. David said in the book of Psalms that my lips or my mouth will speak truth. Lies or evil is an abomination to my mouth. I'm going to speak Bible every day. Even when I'm going through hardship, I'm not going to just keep it real or talk based upon the temporary, what I see. I'm going to talk or speak based upon the eternal or what God's word says. We don't talk based upon what we see. We speak based upon what the word says. Young folk, are y'all getting this? Look at the Hebrew boys. They were speaking the word. We're not quick, O king, to answer you in this manner. We ain't slow to answer you. The God that we serve is able to deliver us. But if he don't, O king, we still ain't gonna bow down. We know our God is able. Look at somebody and say, yes, he's able. They were speaking word. No matter what they were going through, they didn't speak based upon what they saw. Quit saying you can't help it. If you like to say you can't, I can't help it. This just me. Quit saying that. Why you keep saying I can't help it? I just do that. This just me. Quit talking like that. You messing up your days. You saying that you can't change. You saying that you are always like this. Quit saying, well, it's just my attitude. I can't help it. Yes, you can help it. Quit talking like that. Well, I can't help it. I just got to have the last word. Quit saying you can't help it when God is your very present help. I can't help it. I can't help. Yes, you can help it. Quit talking death. Messing up your good days. Well, you know, I'm struggling right now. The struggle is real. Quit saying you're struggling right now. Look at somebody say, quit saying that. And if you don't say it, don't say that. Don't say I'm struggling. No, quit and don't. I'm struggling right now. No. One of my favorite music groups, y'all folk, and this may be over y'all head, the Cadden Spirituals. I love listening to Harvey. He got some good music. But he got this one song I skip all the time. It's called Struggling. And striving, struggling and straining. I don't even listen to that song. I'm like, man, I ain't listening to that because he talking stuff that ain't Bible in that song. And how many know it comes down even to the music that we listen to? You got to be careful about reciting some of these songs, especially if it ain't lining up with the Bible. Look how y'all looking at me now. I said, look at how y'all looking at me. Now, you just don't sing everybody's song. You better do your research before you let certain things come out of your mouth. I got a good example. Good God. DJ Khaled just dropped this album called God Did. So I've been going through to see if God did this. And I've come to the conclusion it's not the God that we serve. It's not the God of the Bible. And so he got this song called Use This Gospel with Kanye West. And it's a remix. Now remember, we're talking about watching the words that we say, right? Now look at this song, young people. He says, use this gospel for protection. Second verse, it's a hard road to heaven. I stop right there. Because the Bible does not say it's a hard road to heaven. That's not Bible. Yeah, when I read it, I said, Bishop just preached this a couple of weeks ago. The hard way. The way of the unfaithful young folk is hard. It ain't hard to get to heaven. Jesus is the way. The truth and the life. His yoke is easy. And his burdens are light. Look at somebody say, it ain't hard to get to heaven. No, it ain't hard. But when you read stuff like, you can get caught up in the beat and just be cursing yourself. Saying stuff you have no business saying. Oh, God, I done lost my audience. Have I lost y'all? No, you got to be careful. You can't just be hypnotized by the beat. The God we serve is a word God. It's all about words. Words have creative power. And I don't want to mess up my day by saying the wrong words. You may not have right now, but don't say you broke. Don't say you broke. Don't curse yourself, man. I'm broke right now. Quit saying you are broke. Quit cursing yourself in your days. You can wake up without in the morning, but by the time you go to sleep, all your needs could be met. Don't say you broke. Don't mess up your days that God has given you here on earth by saying stuff that will curse your day. How many have been guilty in times past by talking in ways you ain't got no business talking? See, you and I, you're going to have what you say. You're going to eat or have, again, what you say, because death and life are in the power of the tongue. So every day, young folk, is an appointed day by God. Every day. He schedules good things to happen and adverse things to happen. And we need to enjoy life every day. Every day. So we watch the words that we speak and we're determined we're not going to die before our time. We're going to enjoy life. How many received the teaching on today? I'm going to stop right there. I got some more, but I'm going to stop right there. Let's give God a hand clap for.
Thank you for listening to today's message. Please be sure to stop by Pastor Baker's website. Go to www.jeromeabaker.com. Until next time, remember, Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You just need to know the way to go.